Somebody responded to my good morning. I appreciate that. Chapter 18. Most probably, as it's beginning to develop in my own preparation, between now and the end of the month, which will be the end of this school year, we're going to have to deal with Chizkiyahu all the way. In order to be able to treat fairly and possibly fully, even though fully we will never be able to treat Chizkiyahu, especially since there are three prokim, as we pointed out, there are three prokim in Melachim, there are four prokim in Divrei Hayamim. There must be at least 7-8 prokim or more in Yeshayahu, so much of which Yeshayahu wrote related to Chizkiyahu. Yeshayahu even we will see prophesied the very birth of Chizkiyahu. In Sefer Yeshayahu there are a number of chapters of prose history that are events that are recorded here in Melachim. Chizkiyahu is going to be, well, what would you say, charig? Is there a good word for charig? Unusual. Even though the word charig means even more than unusual. Unusual, exceptional. Remember his, what did you say? An anomaly? That's not bad. An anomaly, because his father and his son, Achaz's father and his son Menashe, the two worst Rishayim of the kings of Yehuda. Their wickedness is so clearly spelled out. And in the middle comes this Chizkiyahu, or Yechizkiyahu. In Divrei Hayamim, he is throughout referred to as Yechizkiyahu. Here he is, Chizkiyahu. He is going to be a tzaddik that we're going to find is often compared to David more than any other king. And the only other king about which more is written is Shlomo HaMelech. Now, if you were to ask in Sefer Melachim, who's the king about which the most is written? In Melachim. I'm not talking about Sefer Shmuel. In Melachim, Shlomo is the one about whom the most is written. Second in line is going to be Chizkiyahu. Alright. So let's... no murmurings over there. Let's just get down onto... Yes, 11 prakim. Shlomo HaMelech is 11 prakim. Including Beis HaMikdash. Alright. Chapter 18. Vayehi bishnat shalosh laHoshea ben Elo Melech Yisrael, in the third year of Hoshea, the king, the son of Elo, king of Israel, Molach Chizkiyahu ben Ochaz Melech Yehuda. Chizkiyahu, the son of Ochaz, became king of Yehuda. Why this difference between Divrei Hayomim and Melachim, that in Melachim he is nearly throughout, we'll check it, called Chizkiyahu without the Yud before, and in Sefer Divrei Hayomim he's referred to as Yechizkiyahu, the complete extended name, that additional Yud. I don't know. Because has an Aleph missing? No. It's always Aleph Chedzayin. Ben Esrim v'chamesh shanohayav v'molchau v'esrim v'teisha shadam alav b'Yerushalayim v'shem imo Avi Bab Zecharia. Avi, have you ever heard Avi as a woman's name? Well, here you have it. Now, according to her, you knew somebody Avi? Now, it is really... it's not short for Aviva, it's probably short for Aviya or Aviyahu, and Aviya or Aviyahu is also both a boy's name or a girl's name, and we have that in Simcha.
Yona.
Very good. We don't have any more, huh? I'm just happy that I thought of Simcha. But here, Avia or Avi, but this is the only place that we have, you know, Avi, it sounds like a real real modern name, the short form of Avraham, right? Avi. His name was Avi Bat Zechariah.
Her name.
Okay, very good. It wasn't a bad mistake. All right. He was 25 years old when he became king, and for 29 years he was king in Yerushalayim, and his mother was Avi Bab Zecharia. Vayaz Hayosha Ve'enei Hashem. He did that which was right in the eyes of God. Kechol Asher Osav David Aviv. This is the first time that we're going to hear that he is compared to his father David. Now, of course, over here, his father David can have more meaning than any place else, and it may very well be, I'm ready to say, and I think I'm right. See, it's not only that I'm ready to say, I think I'm right that he is going to be compared to David more than the other kings, because he doesn't really have a father to whom he can relate with. We cannot say about Chizkiyahu that what he was, he got from his biological father. His biological father was a Rasha. So that means Chizkiyahu had another father, a spiritual father, an intellectual father. He had a mentor. He had somebody to whom he looked up to. There was somebody who guided him, and it wasn't his biological father. It wasn't Achaz. It was David. And that's why the Pasuk is going to repeat it on a number of occasions. Here, you'll see. Now, there is more. He removed the bamot, the high places. Remember, we've pointed out at a number of times that the bamot were not places where they worshipped idols. The bamot was a residue. It was left over from the days before the Beit HaMikdash was built, when it was permitted for a Jew to bring a sacrifice to God, Hashem Elokei HaShamayim, on a personal altar. That's what the bamot were. And none of the kings before him were able to remove that plague from Klal Yisrael, but because it was prohibited. Once Yerushalayim was built, Yerushalayim became the sole place where Jews can bring their sacrifices. There was no other equal to Yerushalayim. He finally removed the bamot, v'shibaret ha-matzevot, and he broke the altars. The matzevot also did not necessarily have to be idolatry, but it's moving from the lower to the higher, or rather from the higher to the lower, whichever you want. Finally, karatat ha-asherah, he cut down the tree, the asherah trees, under which Jews worshipped idols. V'chitat nechash ha-nechoshet. He crushed, he ground down the snake of Kappa Asher Osa Moshe that Moshe had made. Do you know that that's this week's Sedra? This week's Sedra tells us the story of the Nechash HaMechoshe. That's right. Isn't that the symbol of the medical profession? We're told that God sent, Jews were complaining. God sent against Jews the nechoshim hasrafim, the snakes that burn and destroy, and Jews started dying in the desert. So Moshe went ahead and he made a nechash a snake out of copper, and v'hoyon, it came to pass that anybody who looked up at the nechash hanechoshet, he lived. And that Nechash HaNechoshet was kept by Klal Yisrael as a maskeret, a memento of that great event in the desert for years to come. Now what happened was the following. With the passage of time, there are those who did not simply look at it as a museum piece. The Nechash HaNechoshet became something that people attributed it to it magical powers, and they worshipped it. Until Chizkiyahu came and crushed it. Now, what was the Nechash HaNechoshet? How did it work anyway? Here it is, Jews are being attacked by snakes. I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole parasha, but at least some of the ideas of the parasha are important over here. So the Mishnah says, Mishnah makes a comparison. The Mishnah says the following, that when the war took place between Amalek and Yehoshua, Moshe sat at the top of the mountain, Aaron and Hur held his hands, and it came to pass that as long as Moshe's hands were raised heavenward, Israel down below in the valley were victorious. As his hands went down, Jews began to lose the battle. So the Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah says, the famous Mishnah, V'chiyatav shel Moshe osot milchama o shovrot milchama, are the hands of Moshe that which make or break war? Ella, the Mishnah answers, Kol zman shemistaklin, as long as the Jews looked toward Moshe's hands, meaning they looked heavenward, as long as their eyes were looking in a in an emotional and a spiritual sense, they looked heavenward, they were victorious. But when they did not look heavenward, they were not victorious. The same thing the Gemara says, the Mishnah says the same thing with regard to the Nechash HaMechoshet. What do you think? This was some kind of a magic Nechash that Moshe Rabbeinu had created? But when they would look at the Nechash HaMechoshet that was on a stick, what did he place it on? On a banner, a beam. When they looked toward it, they looked heavenward. And when they looked heavenward, they knew that the source of their strength comes from heaven. And they did tshuva, they were saved. But when they didn't look heavenward, they weren't saved. So that means there was nothing magic about it. It was something that reminded them of what had happened in the desert. But with the passage of time, what happened was there were those who began to serve it. And there were even, the Gemara even tells us, we'll see, the Gemara says that there were those who complained. Moshe Rabbeinu made a Nechash HaMechoshet, and Chizkiyo comes and destroys it. Who gave him the right to destroy it? The Gemara says that Chizkiyo said, Mokom hinichu li avotai lehitgader bo. In other words, those who came before him had destroyed all sorts of idolatry. But here he says that the fathers left over something for him to do, because it became something of a serious nature by the time of Chizkiyo. And therefore he felt that he has to crush it and destroy it. The chitat, the word v'chitat over here, is a word similar to what is used by Moshe when he came down from the mountain. He took the egel and he ground it down, dak dak, adasher dak dak. Chizkiyahu ground down the Nechash HaMechoshet asher also Moshe the Moshe made, ki ad hayonim ahim, because until those days hayu b'nei Yisrael mikatrim lo, until those days the children of Israel brought incense before it. Vayikra lo Nechushtan. I don't want to hear any good comments. I know the comments already. Understand? The elevator. What's the meaning of Vayikra lo Nechushtan? Who called what Nechushtan? Vayikra lo Nechushtan. No, one shot is that it is it's Chizkiyo who called the thing Nechushtan. You think this is some kind of an important Nechash HaMechoshet? It's a Nechushtan. It's something, it's nothing more than brass. It's good. It's brass Allah. Many of the Farshim say that the Nun at the end of the word, at the end of the word, you know, like Mamin Yu, Tatin Yu, something very small, insignificant, huh? Oh, very nice. Does Bitan necessarily? Yeah, Bitan means a smaller house.
Like a hut.
Okay, that's very good. Very good. So, Vayikrolo means that Chizkiyo called this, it was a Nechushtan, it was a garnish with garnish. What do you call it? What are you talking about? And many of the Mefarshim say that the Nun at the end is a Nun that designates something that is small in importance. Of course, when I saw this Rashi, the Mefarshim who say this, and that's many of the Mefarshim, it troubled me, because I had once said a shir where I gave a different shot in Nun. So I had to find some way to figure out, to get my own shot in Nun, and I'll tell you what my shot one was. Yes, I didn't bring that either. It's okay, I remember it. What? Why did you say that? Did my wife say something to you?
I said late son, she said python.
You said late son, she said python.
That's what we're talking.
In Parshat Yitro it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells And I don't remember who was. V'hodato lehem, you should let them know et haderech asher yelchu ba. You should tell the Jewish people the way, teach them the way in which they should go. Ve'et hama'aseh asher ya'asun. And the deeds that they should do. What's this nun at the end of the word? You know, hama'aseh asher ya'asu. Says v'hodato lehem, could you please pass me that chumash? No, you're just going to have to, Mrs. Gold, you're going to have to bring your own Tanakh. Huh? Hey, Mamish, you had it. Yeah, very good. V'hizharta. You know who it is? It's Yitro telling his son-in-law, you can't do it all alone. You're going to have help and assistance. V'hizharta et hem, you will warn them, you will teach them et hachukim v'et ha-torah v'hodato lehem et ha-derech yelchu ba v'et ha-ma'aseh asher ya'asun. You will let them know the way in which they should go and the ma'aseh asher ya'asun. So I had said a shiur that was based on the Ketav HaKabbalah, where the Ketav HaKabbalah explains, the Gemara says, ha-ma'aseh asher ya'asun ze lifnim mishurat ha-din. You should let them know et haderech asher yelchu ba, the way in which they should go. That's the din. You have to know what the law requires. But more than that, you have to let them know hama'aseh asher ya'asun. Ya'asun, that is going beyond the requirements of the law. Says the Ketav HaKabbalah, where do you see in the word ya'asun lifnim? What did you say? You were better before. Now you're a late son, before you were a paitan. What? Listen. Says the Ketav HaKabbalah, you know what lifnim mishurat hadin means? There is a person who performs the mitzvah as is required. So in a sense, what happens is the following. There's the person, and the mitzvah is in a sense something that is outside of him, and he performs mitzvah as it should be performed. The person who performs mitzvahs or conducts himself lifnim mishurat hadin, do you know what that means? He has internalized the whole concept, the Weltanschauung, the philosophy of God and Torah have become one with himself. His whole personality has become a Torah personality. So how do you call somebody who has become a professional in something? Give me all the examples. No. Huh? Paitan, Leitzan, Lamdan. There's a Talmud Chacham, and then there's somebody who's a Lamdan. What does Lamdan mean? Not merely somebody who studies Torah. But his personality, his whole essence, the essential nature of his being has become lamdan. I once had 50 examples. What's happening with our Hebrew? Let's go.
Kaplan.
All right, yes. I want positive and negative. Baishan. Rahman. Avinu of Harachaman. What's Rahman? If you say that he's the father of Rahamim, that means he practices mercy. But there are those who practice mercy to the extent where they become merciful people. Their whole nature is Rachaman. Nun always it represents taking the professions. Huh? Dayan. Dayan is the one who practices din. Huh? Yes, Kaplan. You're right. Shakran. Shadchan. Everybody's always trying to make shaduchim, but then there are those who specialize in it, so that's a shadchan. So the Ksava Kabbalah says the word nun, the letter nun, always represents and more than intensification, where the nature of the person becomes, be it his profession or his conduct or his midos, his character and personality,
become the description of him. He's not a Talmud Chacham. He's a London. That's a great deal more than just being a Talmud Chacham. So he therefore he says, Hamaaseh Asher Yasun. There are people who do mitzvahs, and then there are people who do mitzvahs lifnim mishurat hadin. When they do it lifnim mishurat hadin, it's not simply something that they do that is outside of them. They become ya'asun. They become people whose whole nature bespeaks the performance of mitzvahs. Lifnim mishurat hadin is not something that somebody can do as an act sort of outside of oneself. Like, oh, I'm going to, you know, make a conscious decision, I'm going to act now, lifnim mishurat hadin. Lifnim mishurat hadin has to come from the depths and the wellsprings of the neshama. Vayikra lo nechushtan may very well mean that Klal Yisrael called Chizkiyahu nechushtan. That his whole nature was the destruction of... He became personified by Klal Yisrael as nechushtan. And the Nechushtan doesn't have to mean from the Chasha Nechoshet. You know what it, from the modern Hebrew word, Nechishut? What does Nechishut mean in firm, stick-to-itiveness? One who undertakes something and is going to go all the way until he succeeds. Chizkiyahu HaMelech is going to uproot, destroy, remove any zecher of idolatry in a way that no other king before him did. He therefore became by Klal Yisrael the symbol of Nechushtan, a man who was completely full of Nechishut. The Gemara is going to say about him, in the days of Chizkiyo, Bodku Midon Vav Be'er Sheva, They investigated from Don until Beersheba. I imagine that was the first poll, the first seker that was done by Klal Yisrael. V'lo matzu tinok v'tinoket ish v'isha shelo hayu bekiyim v'hilchus tuma v'tahara. They didn't find male or female child, male or female adult, that were not experts in the laws of tuma and tahara, the most difficult halachas in Torah. Huh? Trust me, the Gemara says it.
But how did you get up to stand? It was closed. We lost it
already. We'll see about that. It could be a metaphor because there's another Gemara. I'll have to stop because there's another Gemara that says Migevat Vad Antiparas. Two different names that I used. What it really meant is, and we're going to see, by the way, in the days of Chizkiyo, parts of the lands of Menashe and Ephraim were under Yehuda. There was part of Menshelet, of Mamlechet Yisrael, because there were different periods, during which it was held by the enemy, periods when it wasn't held by the enemy. When it was not held by the enemy, then it was Chizkiyo. And then the Gemara also says about Chizkiyo, Noatz Cherev, Bedelet Bet HaMedchash. He stuck a sword into the door of the Beis Medrash, and he said, whoever does not study Torah, yidoker becheref, shall be run through by the sword. He made a spiritual revolution by Klal Yisrael. Ba'ashem elokei Yisrael batach. He trusted God, the God of Israel. Ve'acharav lo hoya kamahu b'chol malchei Yehuda v'asher hayu lefanav. There were none who were like him, and there were none that were like him who preceded him. In other words, under him, the circumstances that he lived, from the family that he came in, there was nobody like him before or after. In terms of the sweeping process of tshuva that he initiated by Klal Yisrael, he was the father of the tshuva movement. By Yidvat Hashem, he clung to God. Lo sar me'acharav, he didn't turn from behind him. I mean, you can hear already from the psukim that we are describing somebody who the kind of description that had not been said about anybody before him. By Yishmar mitzvotav Asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, he kept the mitzvot that God had commanded Moshe. V'hoya Hashem imo, God was with him. Bechol asher yetzeh, yaskil, wherever he went, he succeeded. this was first said about Yehoshua, it was a promise to Yehoshua, and then it said it about Shlomo HaMelech. Wherever he went, Yaskil, and the word Yaskil is used to mean Yatzliach, to succeed, because you know when you succeed usually? When you have brains. You have Seichel, you succeed. Or for that matter, even if you don't have Seichel, but you succeed, people say you do have Seichel. Huh? Everybody who succeeds has Seichel, yes.
Does anybody say anything about why
he is in charge of Well, because I imagine that the reason why David is used is because it's remember Malchut Beit David. So he sees himself as the spiritual student. In other words, it's possible to be a student of somebody whom you never met. I think I've said this a number of times. It's worth repeating. The Baal Shem Tov, I believe they say the name of the Baal Shem Tov, is Stachel B'Shlosha Devarim. Look at three things, in Pirkei Avos, look at three things, you don't come to sin. That is, Ayin Ro'eh, Ba'ozen Shomat, V'chol Ma'asecha, Ba'asef Enechtavim. There is an eye that sees, there's an ear that hears, and all of your deeds are written in a sefer. So of course, the simple meaning of the mission in Avos is that there's an all-seeing and an all-hearing God, and He records all of your deeds in the book before Him. Baal Shem Tov said, if a Jew wanted to know how to conduct his life, there were three periods in Jewish history. There was the period of Ayin Ro'ah, the eye of the seer. If a Jew didn't know what to do, he was in a quandary, he had a dilemma. You went to the Ro'eh, you went to the seer, you went to the Navi, and you asked the Navi what to do. When the period of prophecy came to an end, there were still ways by which God communicated from heaven. And that was through Bat Kol, a voice that would come from heaven, and if you had the right tether, you were able to be collate. Nobody will ever be able to understand what I'm talking about. Now, if you had the right spiritual antenna, and maybe the right number, 013, 014, you would be able to get the long distance call from God. That was Bat Kol. And the Gemara talks about many generations, centuries, that there are Bat Kol min Ahemet, there's a voice coming out of Sinai. Then there came an end, says the Baal Shem, there came an end to the period of Bat Kol, the period where people would hear a message from heaven, a verbal, so to speak, message from heaven. So what do you do after that? After that he says, V'chol ma'asecha ba'seif inichtavim. You want to know what to do? Look into a sefer. A sefer can become your Rebbe. There are times that I like to say about myself that in some little way, I'm a Talmud of Rav Meir Simcha Kayin Midvins. I never saw him. He died in 1925. But when you learn a person's Svarim, I mean, there are people who today can say that they're Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim, though they never saw the Chafetz Chaim, Talmidim of the Chazonish, though they never saw the Chazonish. Because people sort of gravitate toward the certain Svarim more than toward others, and then that Sefer, the one who wrote that Sefer, becomes one's spiritual guide and mentor. Yechizkiyahu's spiritual guide and mentor is David HaMelech. Very good. Havei mi talmidav, the Mishnah says, Havei bi mi talmidav shel Aharon. Oh, hey, shalom, verod, shalom, it's possible to be a student of Aharon 3,500 years after Aharon. So that's what the Baal Shem said, b'chol ma'asecha, after the period of prophecy, and then the period of prophecy gives way, and comes the period of the Bat Kol, the voice that comes from heaven, then already the guidance and direction that a person gets is from a safe. Boy, Miriam, you wanted to say something.
So
yeah, good. I brought a medrash along.
Is it
important? Well, good question. I brought a medrash with me, and I was waiting. At what moment am I going to read the medrash to you? So Miriam, I mean, the truth is that we rehearsed this in advance. You understand? The medrash says the following. One second.
Medrash says there are four people, Shehikiru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'atzmam. There were four people who came to a recognition of God by themselves. Nobody helped them. Who was the first? Excellent. Excellent. It's a pasuk in Iyov, chapter 41, Mi Higdimani Va'ashalem. The Medrash is learning, Mi Higdimani, who preceded me, God says. In other words, who got there before me? Ashalem, I will reward him. So there's a first Medrash, Amar Tanchum Baraba, Rav Tanchum Baraba said, Mi Sheim L'Nechosim, a person who doesn't have money, V'osit Tzedakuk, Milas Chasadim. Person doesn't really have money, can't afford it, and he does stuck in Milas Chesed. Mishein lo banim, person that does not have children, he pays for teachers. I don't know, imagine he gives money to the local day school. Mishein lo bayit, person doesn't have a house, but he makes a mezuzah. You know, someday I'll have a house, you understand, so I'll put on the mezuzah. Mishein lo talis, a person doesn't have talis, but he prepares tzitzis. Someday he'll be able to afford a talis, he's going to have the tzitzis. In other words, a person who's well prepared, who is one step ahead. Shein lo banim, a person that has children, but he fulfills the mitzvah of mila by circumcising other people's children. Va'osa svarim u'mashilin l'acheirim, or a person who writes svarim, or prints svarim, or has svarim, and he lends it out to others. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ze higdim v'kiyei mitzvotai, this person went ahead, in a sense, before, in advance, and he fulfilled my mitzvahs, before I gave him with what to fulfill them, I have to pay. Therefore, the one who gave tzedakah when he couldn't really afford it, Bayesham gives him money. The one who supported the Talmud Torahs and all the rest before he had children, Bayesham is going to give him children. The person who had his mezuzah ready, Bayesham gives him a house. I imagine it's similar to somebody, I always say, somebody walks out over here during the winter with a, when there's been a period of no rain, and he walks out with a, with an umbrella, you understand, ready? So, he walked out with an umbrella, so the Gemara says, so I have to bring rain. Higdimani, he preceded me, he was there before me. V'ashalim, I will pay. Says the Medrash, in its second shot, Dovaracha, the second shot is, there are people who recognized my existence even before I did, and I will reward them. So first it says Avram, Shemiyatz Mayhikil LaHakodesh Baruch Hu. Alright, so we have to Zehoya Avram, that's Avram Shehikil Miyatz LaHakodesh Baruch Hu, who himself recognized God. V'lo Hoya Adam Shelimedoto, he didn't have anybody indeed to teach him. Heich LaHakiret HaMakom, nobody taught him how to see God. Elohu Miyatzbo Zehu Echad Midalid Bnei Adam, he is one of the four people. Shemi Atzvam Hikir LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Iyov Hikir Me'atzvam. Iyov saw God himself. Minayin Shekenu. All right, they bring a pasuk in Iyov. Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Afu Me'atzvam Hikir LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, also came to that recognition himself. Minayin. How do we know this? Shekein Katov Alav. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu where Yeshayahu describes, prophesies the birth of Chizkiyahu. Chema u'dvash yochel. He will eat butter and honey. Leda'ato. From his own mind. Ma'oz bara u'bachor v'tov. He's going to reject evil and choose good. The fourth one, strangely enough, is Umelech HaMoshiach Me'atzmo Hikil HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Melech HaMoshiach is going to come to a recognition of God himself. Well, I think this should be told, this medrash should be told to the FFBs when they walk around thinking that they're special, more special than the the BTs? No, the BT. Yeah, the FFBs think that they're better than the BTs, and they better watch themselves, because it could be Mashiach won't even be able to pronounce a het correctly, because he'll be a Baal Tshuva. According to the Medrash,
He hikir et boro. He will come to a recognition of God Himself. So you see, Chizkiyahu, first of all, what it means is, remember, Avraham represents the idea that it's possible. But second, even about Chizkiyahu, he may have been born into a personal, familial vacuum, but he was not born into a cultural and a national vacuum. Avraham's accomplishment was greater, but it's more the Gemara, maybe the Medrash is also reacting to the fact, not only did he have a father who was an idolater, but this was a father who was a frumma idolater and raised Chizkiyahu in that. Not only that, the Gemara says that he sent his son to be Chizkiyahu to be burned between the fires of Moloch, and the Gemara says that his mother covered him with salamandra, some kind of a leather or something that should protect him so that he should emerge unscathed from the fire. That's what kind of a Roshi. Yes. So you're gonna, yeah, right. In the final, yes. So that's why I was saying that while he may have been born into a family that was most probably worse than a spiritual vacuum, he was born at least into a context and to a history. It doesn't, by the way, it does not diminish his personal accomplishment. That's right. It does not diminish. Now, the one question that I'm not going to deal with unless I come up with the great answer, which I don't think I'm going to come up with, how does a father have a son like this? Or maybe if you would have asked Ahaz, he would have said, "Vey, I'm cursed by the revelation. Why? What did I do to have a son like Chizkiyahu?" Right? You never know. Now, what are we supposed to do? What's more over here is I think that one has to be very, very careful not to fall into the trap of becoming the great psychologist. In other words, when I start hearing about people who tell me, well, Moshe Rabbeinu's children, well, you know, he was heavily involved in communal activities, he didn't really spend enough time with the kids, he didn't do homework with them. Like, when you start taking people who are saintly and you bring them down to your little PTA level, that's a bizoyan HaTorah. There are certain things that we simply have to stand back and say, ich versteh nicht. That Moshe Rabbeinu's children did not become as great as Moshe. I don't know, my wife's been after me about Shmuel's children. Not many of the Gedolei Olam had children who... Only one. Are what? See, two of them were cut down. Only one. Yaakov, Mitoso Shlema. Avram had Yitzchak, but he also had Yishmael. Yitzchak had Yaakov, but he also had Esav. Yaakov had 12, and it's at the end of Sefer Bereishis that we find out sof that Mitato, the bed of Yaakov, was Shlema complete. Wait, just one. Regan wanted to ask something. When it says that he forced on pain of death, there we're talking about a Gemara that expresses an idea but not a fact. Now, one always has to be very careful about how to understand our Gadot Chazal, the Agadic portion of our rabbis. You have to know most often not to take it literally, but to look at it in terms of an idea that is expressed in sharp terms by the rabbis. You think he was going to take a little kid that didn't do his homework and run him through like Zorro? I mean, is that what he was going to do? He was going to kill somebody who didn't learn Torah? Of course he wasn't going to kill anybody. It means he made it that important. He created an atmosphere in which people saw the study of Torah as a matter of life and death. By the way, couldn't we today say that the study of Torah is a matter of life and death? For millions of Jews, without Torah, Jews are pushing, dying from Klagosol. You don't even have to give me 5 minutes, and I'll give you an hour's fire and brimstone about the idea that Torah is, as Chazal call it, Sam Chayim, the elixir of life. Gemara in Kedusha that says, Barasi Yetzirah, I created the Yetzirah Barasi Tavlin Lo. I also created a cure. In Pogah B'chominuvel Zef, the Yetzirah gets a hold of you, schlep him into the Beis Medrash. Torah is seen as that which gives, as that which gives life. Mi ha'esh ha'chofetz chayim, ohed yamim, lidos tov, tzal l'shon chamecha. Lashon Hara is death, and not saying Lashon Hara is life. So you have to understand it in terms of its spiritual meaning, but not to take it literally. Yes, Sarah? And look who came out of Lavan, and look who came out of Terach. Avram came from Terach. Avram, in a sense, Chizkiyahu is very similar to Avram. How often did we tell you the Rambam, where the Rambam says that Avram was born into a family of idolaters and he worshipped idols with them? Chizkiyahu, in a sense, has the most probably his nechushtanness is the result of the fact that he saw it, that he lived it, and he rejects it. Do you know what I see? Mamish dancing before my eyes as I read each one of these psukim. He crushes the Nechash HaNechoshes. He cuts down the Asherah. He breaks the Matzeva. He removes the Bomber. You know what I'm thinking of? Avraham, the Medrash of Avraham. Avraham and the idols, destroying the idols of his father. Chizkiyahu is shattering the idols of his father, which had become therefore the idols of Klal Yisrael. So when the Medrash says that there were four people that he kiru at Boram, the Medrash is telling us a great deal. The Medrash is telling us that Chizkiyahu equals Avraham. He equals Avraham in terms of what he did and his achievement and his accomplishment. How did he come to it? Because his spiritual mentor and his guide was David HaMelech.
Well,
we don't have any record of the fact that Yeshayahu came into the house and taught him for his bar mitzvah. If anything, you know what he was taught? He was taught most probably by his father Achaz, who was unfortunately a terrible Rosh. By me, the difficulty is more hard. An Achaz and a Menashe are more difficult for me to understand than a Chizkiyahu. How did Jews stray that far? I don't understand. That's what I have difficulty to understand. All right, I mean, this is... All right, let's go further. Vayimro b'melech Ashur v'lo avado. We're at the end of Pasuk 7. He rebelled against the king of Ashur and he didn't serve him. Who he called Plishtim ad azov et v'lehu, he smote the Plishtim. Imagine... We thought that the Plishtim had sort of disappeared from the scene of history. The last time we had problems with the Plishtim, really, were the days of David and Shlomo, Chleis, Shmuel, Shaul, David, Shlomo. But those Plishtim, they happen to be one of the few people that always keep popping up in history, unfortunately. So they're still around. So the Plishtim, as Torah grows, with the destruction of idolatry comes greater strength to Klal Yisrael. He smote the Plishtim and Azah that bled all of the boundary. Mi migdal notzrim ad ir mifzar, from their smallest, from a small building to fortified city, everything he destroyed Plishtim. By Yehi Hashana HaRaviyat HaMelech Chizkiyahu, it came to pass in the fourth year of King Chizkiyahu. He Hashana HaShviyas Loshea Ben Shalmaneser, the king of Asher, came up against Shomron, and he besieged the city by Yel Kedua, and he conquered her, he captured her, Mikzei Shol HaShadim, at the end of 3 years, Bishnat Sheish L'Chizkiyahu, in the sixth year of Chizkiyahu. It had already been mentioned earlier that there was a 3 year siege of Shomron. In the sixth year of Chizkiyahu, which is the ninth year of Oshea, the king of Israel, Nilkad HaShomron, Shomron was captured. By Yegel HaMelech Asher, at Yisrael Ashura, King of Asher sent Israel into exile to Asher by Yanchen. This is also a repeat of what had been happened before. He sent them into exile. Bachlach, Bachavor, Nahar Gozen, Vorevodai, Al Asher Lushon, because Asher came that they did because they didn't listen to the voice of God, they're gone. By Yavru et Brito, they broke his covenant at Kol Asher Tziva, Moshe, Ever Asher, everything that he had commanded, Moshe, the servant of God. Below Shamu, below Asu. They didn't listen and they didn't do. Didn't listen and didn't do. In other words, the complete opposite of what Jews had said at Sinai. Na'aseh v'nishma. Lo shamu,
They didn't want to listen. Below us, and they didn't do. Now we have already, there's a new king in Asher. It's in the 14th year of King Chizkio that Sancheriv, king of Asher, comes up. I'll call Orei Yehuda Habitzurot by it the same against all of the fortified cities of Yehuda, and he grabbed them, he took them. Yes, I think that we really dealt with that question. Why isn't he zocher to peace, tranquility, security? Each person under their ish tachat gafno v'tachat teinato, everybody under their vineyard, their vine, and under their fig tree, because unfortunately there were uvdog bashetach, there are things that had happened in the field that are in great measure already the die had been cast. There will be Chizkiyahu, and there's going to be Yoshiyahu, and there will be Tzidkiyahu, three very pious kings, but for all intents and purposes, in great measure, the fate of Klal Yisrael had been sealed already. Just as we pointed out by Hoshea ben Elish, sometimes it's just too late. Even though I'm stepping back a little bit, because I know what I'm going to have to deal with. I'm going to have to deal with one statement of Chazal. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Chizkiyahu Moshiach V'Sancherev Gog U'Magog. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that God wanted to make Chizkiyahu Moshiach, and Sancherev, king of Asher, would represent the apocryphal war of Gog U'Magog. And the Gemara says, and of course this is going to require very significant elaboration, says about Chizkiyahu, the Gemara says he didn't say Shira. He didn't sing before God. That was his sin. If you look perplexed, the look on your face is exactly the way we all have to feel. What does the Gemara mean? Number one, what does the Gemara mean? Number two, how is it possible Chizkiyahu didn't say Shira? We make a whole business of saying Halal on Yom Atzmut, mit a bracha, without a bracha. Even fighting about Halal is a mitzvah. So Chizkiyahu didn't know to say Shira. What it also means, of course, is, by the way, this is the first time that Chazal ever tell us that there was a period at which Mashiach could have come. It was never said about any other period in Jewish history. The first time the possibility of Mashiach emerges is in the time of Chizkiyahu. What was so special about Chizkiyahu? Why didn't they say, I'll throw your question back at you. Why doesn't Chazal say, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Shlomo Melech HaMashiach? The Rebbeinu wanted to make Shlomo King Mashiach. Wouldn't that have been the most opportune king? Wouldn't he have been the most opportune king to make Mashiach? It seems that something happens in the times of Chizkiyahu that make Chizkiyahu a possible first candidate in history to be Mashiach. And there is a missed opportunity. Something went awry. But I can't yet deal with that. But I just want to tell you that I'm aware of these problems, and these are problems that we will have to deal with. Yes. Wait a minute. Yes. Right, good. So we'll put that into the hopper with all of the other questions. If the 10 tribes are taken into exile, and the reason is given because v'lo shomeu v'lo osu, here we're talking about a completely different story. It means the whole story of Chizkiyahu requires that whole period requires a tremendous amount of thought. For that matter, that's precisely why the Nevi'im speak more about Chizkiyahu than any other king. So we have to see what they say first in order that we should be able to create an approach. Yishlach Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda melech Asher l'Achisha lemar. Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, sent to the king of Asher, who was in Lachish at the time.
Lachish is southern part of Eretz Yisrael. He was on his way to go wage war with either Egypt or Sudan. So he sent a message to him saying, Chotasi, I've sinned, shuv, may I, olai, turn back from coming against me. Et asher titein olai esar, whatever you place upon me as a fine or tribute, I will carry it, I will bear it. Vayosem melech asher al chizkiyo melech Yehuda, the king of Asher placed upon chizkiyo, the king of Yehuda, shlosh me'ot kikar kesef, 300 kikar of silver, u'shloshim kikar zahav, and 30 kikar zahav. Yitain chizkiyo kol ha'kesef ha'mitzav beit Hashem, chizkiyo gave all of the silver that was in the house of God, u'ba otzorot beit ha'melech, and in the otzorot of the house of the king. And you're going to ask the same question over here. Why is all of this happening? If everything is so good, why is everything so bad? That's really the question that we're asking. But eit ha'hi at that time, kitzatz chizkiyo et daltot heichal Hashem, ve'et ha'onot, asher tzivah chizkiyo melech Yehuda, v'yitnei l'melech Ashur. At that time, chizkiyo cut the doors of the heichal that were gold. And he gave them to the king of Asher, and he also cut the omnot. According to some, the word omnot is a word that does not appear anyplace else in Tanakh. And some say that it refers to pillars. You see how exhausted I am when I think of pillars that carried the parts of the building, from the word omein. Omein is a nurse. Kasher yisa ha-omein et hayonek. He, the supports, and he gave them to the king of Asher. We will yet, I'm not going to conceal anything from you. We will hear what Chazal have to say about this. Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara says, there are a number of things that Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda did, v'lo hodu lo, and the Chachamim did not agree with him. Shisha dvarim. I'm not going to learn the whole Mishnah with you now, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to avoid coming face to face with all of this. The Gemara says there are six things that he did. Shlosha hodu lo. There are three things that Chazal, the rabbis, agreed with him, and three that they didn't agree with him. Of the three that they didn't agree with him, was one that he cut down the doors of the Beis HaMikdash and he gave them to the king of Asher. The second, we'll see later, that he stopped up the waters of the Gihon. The Gihon is right outside of Yerushalayim. He closed the Gihon so that the enemy that was surrounding Yerushalayim in the days of Chizkiyahu, all of Eretz Yisrael is going to fall before the enemy. All of Eretz Yisrael. And the enemy, Sancheret, and his forces are going to be around Yerushalayim waiting for the final thrust against the city, and they are encamped someplace around Neve Yaakov. And the next day they plan at dawn the attack against Yerushalayim. And we're going to come to that, of course, that during the course of the night, the angel of death descends from heaven and destroys the Sancheret, which means that all of Eretz Yisrael had fallen before Sancheret, king of Asher. And one of the ways in which Chizkiyahu waged war with him was stopped up the waters outside the city of Yerushalayim so that the enemy should not have water, and the rabbis disagreed with him. And then there's a third, far more complex, that he in the month of Nisan, he added a month to the previous year. Really, it's on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, he decided that the year before has 13 months, so he made another order just at about the last minute, and our rabbis didn't agree. We'll also see what the rabbis did agree with him, but there are great things that are happening over here. That's not a few psukim. Vayishtach Melech Ashur, Estarton, Vesrav Soris, Vesrav Shokei, Min Lachish Al Melech Hizkiyo, Bechel Kavei Yerushalayim. The king of Ashur sent Tarton and Rav Soris. And this fellow Rav Shake, he is very—he's going to be a very important fellow, Rav Shake. According to Chazal, he's a Jew of Meshumad. Our worst enemies are Jews Meshumadim. He sent them Bechel Kavei Yerushalayim, the great number of soldiers to Yerushalayim. Vayalu vayavoyu. They went up and they came to Yerushalayim. Vayalu vayavoyu vayandu. The ta'alat habrechaha eyona. Asher v'nesilat stei koreis. And they came up and they came toward the city. And they stopped this b'to'alat habrechaha eyona near a canal of the upper pool. This was one of the pools of water that served the city of Yerushalayim, which is b'mesilat sedei koveis, near the path of sedei koveis, the field of the launderers, the washers, and other. There was a place where people would go out. The people of Yerushalayim would do their laundry there. You know, you had to wash near the water. And it seems that this area also had been tiled with stones, so that you were able to hang things out over there. They stopped there. Vayikru al HaMelech. They called to the king. Vayetze aleihem Eliyakim ben Hilkiyah asher al habayit. This story, by the way, is going to be repeated in Yeshayahu. There are slight differences. Maybe we'll see that yet. I'm not sure. Eliyakim ben Hilkiyah asher al habayit was in charge of the house. The king went out, and Shevna HaSofer, Shevna the scribe. By scribe, I think we have to point out, scribe doesn't necessarily mean the secretary. It means secretary, as in secretary of state, like Ezra HaSofer. Very good. In other words, Sofer should not be misunderstood as meaning, you know, somebody who came out with his laptop or his typewriter, or the one who's taking the stenographer who's taking notes. A sofer represented a secretary in the important. In other words, he's one of the extremely important people, his top people. And Yoav ben Asaf Hamazkir, Yoav ben Asaf Hamazkir, he was sort of in charge of the office of the chronicles, the chronology, and I was the one who's in charge of what's going to be written in the protocols of the king. Yom Ralein, Rav Shaki said to them, Imru Nael Chizkiyahu, say, please tell Chizkiyahu. Doesn't even say Melech. He does not refer to him as Melech. And in order to make it even sharper, he says, Ko Omar HaMelech HaGadol Melech Ashur. So says the great king, the king of Ashur. Maha bitachon hazeh asher batachto. What's this trust that you have trusted? Who are you talking about? Who do you think you're standing up against? Who are you placing your trust in? That God? Yudkei Vavkei? What? In other words, you just better give up altogether. Amarta ach dvar svatayim. Whatever you said is just words from the lips. Eitzo ugvura la milchama. For war you need counsel and strength. Atanara mi batachta. Upon whom have you placed your trust? Ki mordadeta bi, that you have rebelled against me? It seems that while Sancheriv is off going on some other campaign, he gets word that there's some kind of rebellion going on in the ranks of Chizkiyo against him. Who? This is, this is, if we have anything to thank Rav Shoke for, we have to thank him for this description of Mitzrayim. Upon whom did you place your trust? Mishenet hakaneh haratzutz hazel Mitzrayim. Somebody who leans on a reed, a broken reed, and you know what happens if you lean on it? It goes sticking into your hand. Yeah. Mitzrayim. By the way, Mitzrayim was always Mishenet Kaneh Latzutz, and it is an even sharper Mishenet Kaneh Latzutz Achayom Hazeh. I can't help it, but I saw the the headlines this morning that somebody in the government is extremely upset that if we don't do something quickly, Egypt will not be the go-between between Israel and the Palestinian authority. If we better do something quick, or Mubarak may not help us out. God Almighty, Mubarak is a son of Israel of the worst order.
You don't have no power with the Arab
people. In the city as well. They should publicize over here on TV all of the cartoons about Israel, Jews, and Netanyahu every day in the press over there. Some stupid, crazy woman makes a cartoon and the whole world is up in arms. Hundreds of thousands of Arabs in Tehran are running around like mishugoyim. And every day you can pick up a newspaper in Egypt and you'll see. And they don't start up with Sarah. They start up with Binyamin, you understand? They leave Sarah to us. Here the press does good enough a job. I have to get something out, you know. All right. But Rav Shaki says, Mishenet is the staff that you lean on. Koneh is a reed, ratzutz, that's broken. Al Mitzchayim, Hashem Sameh Chisholah, as a man leans on it, Ubab Kapon Kavod comes into his hand, and it makes a hole in your hand. King Paro Melech Mitzchayim, that's what Paro Melech Mitzchayim is, L'chol HaTbalchem Alav, to all who trust him. I think that it's even more significant that even as he is doing a real job on Paro, he still calls him Melech Mitzrayim. And Chizkiel is nothing but the Chezi, Chizki, huh? Right? V'chitom nun elai, what are you going to tell me? You're going to say to me, El Hashem Elokeinu v'tochnu, we have our trust in God, our God? What are you talking about? Chizkiel is the one who removed all of the Bamot. And by the way, here is proof that the Bamot were high places on which they served the God of Israel, not idols. So Chizkiel is the one who removes the places where they served his God. His God is going to come to his assistance. Chizkiel is the one who removed his high places and his altars. You know what? He had the nerve to tell Yehuda and Yerushalayim, only before this altar in Yerushalayim shall you bow down. Now you want? Make a bet with my master, the king of Ashur. I'll give you 2,000 horses. Let's see if you can even find 2,000 people who could ride upon them. You have nobody to trust on, nobody to turn to. You have no strength. You have no army. You have no way of putting together an army. All is lost. You can't even turn away the face of one small little governor or mayor of one of the servants of the small servants of my master. So you can depend on Mitzrayim lerechet uleparashim for chariots and horses. And here comes most probably the ugliest part of what he says. But this in Yeshayahu becomes most probably the battle cry of Sanchedev and how God goes after him. Do you know what Sanchedev sees? Sanchedev sees himself as God's personal shaliach. He's the messenger of God. And whatever he's doing is all but God's will. Fact is that Yeshayahu is going to say in the name of God, Ashur Shevet Api. Ashur is the staff of my anger. God uses him. But you know what? Sanchedrin begins to see himself not as one who is being used by God. He sees himself as God's mighty shaliach on the face of this earth. If not for God, would I have come up against this place, Lashito, to destroy it? Hashem Amarenai. God said to me, Alei al haretz hazos v'ashchisa. Go up against this land and destroy it. We're going to stop here. Yes?
Why exactly did he send all
this? By the way, appeasement never does any good. But there are parts of the story, the fact is that the real answer to your question is that parts of the story are missing here. I alluded to them by saying that there was a moment at which at which Chizkiyo indeed rebelled against Asher, and I will point that out and prove it further.